Alan Kring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 4 for Spring Semester 2019. Lecture 26, delivered on May 1, 2019. The title of this lecture is Review for the Final Exam.
Tonight, review for the final exam. It will be 50 questions, the same format as exam one in all respects. Now, approximately 18 of the questions are either directly from exam one or there's just a variation of numbers, but the same skill is being tested. So that helps guide you. And also, some from those 18 will include some from quizzes as well. And I still have to get a key up for that last quiz you took. Your scores in Cengage should now be all up to date, complete to now. Check to make sure everything is right in there. It never fails that right after I upload grades to the server at ISU, someone sends the message the next day, I think there's a score on a quiz missing. It's too late then. My record was this last semester when two students came 6 weeks into this semester. There was something I didn't notice check your scores. If there's some issue, bring it to my attention. Now, as far as office hours, the exam is at 5:30 on Monday. Is that correct? Okay. I will be in my office from about 4:15 until the time of the exam for your last-minute panic attacks. Any questions you have? That's on Monday. So if you have any last-minute questions, that's where you would have your last chance to ask before the exam. Anyway, again, 50 questions, about 18 from exam one directly or just a variation on exam one. As far as overall, there are about 8 true-false on the exam. So you got a 50-50 shot if you guess on those. Let me give you what I can tell you about it. Well, I could put this exam up on the overhead if you wanted. No, I won't do that. Okay, from math, as far as math goes, you're going to need to know how to calculate a net present value. And you're also going to need to know how to find an internal rate of return. You will need to know how to find a loan payment and an effective rate of return. An effective rate. This is all calculator. All you have to do is know how to use your calculator to get those these days. There will be two bond questions. One, you will find the yield to maturity on a bond, and you will have to find the price or the quote on a bond. Look carefully if I ask for a quote or if I ask for a price, because I may very well give you both a quote and a price. Know which one I'm after. If I say quote the bond, that means you're looking for the quote, not a dollar amount. If I say price it, you're looking for a dollar sign answer. There will be a question on a future value of an annuity. Put some money into an account every year for a certain number of years. keep an eye on whether it's an annuity due or an ordinary annuity. Just watch your step, because I will have the answers in there for if you make a mistake. I'll ask you from the first exam, and actually I think I did that on a quiz, find the yield on a one-year treasury. Just like I did, that was like second week of the course kind of stuff. Let me see about other. Now what I'm doing right now is I'm going through the math things on the exam. Internal rate of return. That looks like, oh, I am not going to do a full free cash flow question. I will, like I did on the first exam, ask you to find the change in net working capital. If you'll recall on the first exam, it was Macy's. It will be the same problem, except with another corporation. I'll give you the current assets and current liabilities for the 2 years, and you just find the change in net working capital. I will not do a stock screen on this exam like I did on the other one. I will ask you to find a stock price using the constant growth dividend model. I caution you that you make sure, first of all, first thing, am I telling you this year's dividend, the one that's just been paid, or am I telling you the D1, the next dividend? Okay. Remember, if I'm telling you the next dividend, that's what you put in the numerator. If I'm telling you this year's dividend, you have to grow it 1 year. So watch whether I'm telling you the company just paid a dividend of, or the company is going to pay a dividend of. Also, make sure you know if I'm telling you the year's dividend or if I'm telling you another period's dividend. I might say, well, they pay a quarterly dividend or they pay a monthly dividend. So if I told you that it was a year's dividend of a dollar, you'd use a dollar. But if I told you that it was every 6 months they pay a dividend of 25 cents, then that's a 50-cent dividend. Effective rate. I will also ask you to find the annualized gain, total return on a stock you buy. So I could say, well, this company, you bought this stock at $12.50, and 80 days later you sold it at $13.18. What is the annualized total return? So remember that you do the end over the beginning, and then you raise it to the 1 over the number of days divided by 365 minus 1. So you just do the sell over the beginning, sell over the buy, and you raise that to the 1 over the number of days divided by 365. And then you minus 1. And I'm saying that slowly so that you can listen to this in the podcast and you can walk it through. Let's see if there's anything else. Good. That's most of the math. Okay. If you can get through that, you've gotten through the worst of it. Now, as far as other things are concerned, I will ask you about bonds. They're a dominant part of the course, a couple of chapters on them. So on a basic level, know the difference between a bill, a bond, and a note, and who's the seller and who's the buyer. Just like on the first exam, there'll be another question like that. Who sold the bond? Who bought the bond? Was it a bond, a note, or a bill? I will ask you to show me that you can distinguish between what we call different types of bonds. What do we call a collateralized bond? What do we call an uncollateralized bond? What do we call 30-day debt issued by large creditworthy corporations? Just have a good working knowledge of things like senior and junior. What do we mean by that kind of stuff? And make absolutely sure that you know who has the prior claim and who has the residual claim on cash flows of a corporation. I caution that words can trip you up. You might see an answer that looks, yeah, got it. But if you look closely, I used words that were incorrect in some answers. That's not a mistake. I'm doing that deliberately so that you know the difference between a debt holder and a bond holder, the difference between a shareholder and a stakeholder. A silly-ass term. Kind of in a related vein, I'm going to make sure you show me that you know about liquidity. You understand liquidity. And you understand the exact in-class definition. Not the definition that is in these ignoramus sites for stupid people on the internet. Know what I taught you in class as a definition, because you'll have the chance to show me that you go to the internet and think you're actually learning something. And you'll learn that, oh, that loses points. Oh, mother's work is never done. Know the relationship between risk and return, okay? Exactly as I told it to you. Other, no, systematic versus unsystematic risk. What you can do to get rid of one of them, but you can't get rid of the other one. All that stuff about diversifying your portfolios. Show me that you know about ETFs and mutual funds. You'll notice that there is a lot of conceptual in here. Definitions will get you a passing grade, but to go above the passing, you have to show that you have some knowledge of what we mean by these definitions. As far as bonds, let me make one more mention, and this is, I'm not giving you directly a question, a couple of questions, but make sure you understand what happens as a bond gets closer to maturity. Also, what happens to a bond's price as the spread between coupon and yield changes? Let me say that last one again, that second one again. Make sure you know what happens to the price of a bond as the spread between coupon and yield changes. To give you an example, okay, the yield of a 5% coupon bond had a yield of 5.5%. What happens if the coupon, of course, the coupon is going to stay at 5%, but what happens if the yield goes to 6%, 6.5%? Or what happens if it goes to if the yield goes to 5.25%? Show me that you know the price dynamic. And it makes it sound like you're very cool because you can say, well, yes, I understand bond price dynamics. It's a great line on Tinder. Or not. Apparently not, considering what's happened with me with that line. Okay, now. Okay, as far as ratios go, again, like on the first one, I'm not going to ask you to calculate a ratio, but you need to show me that you know what the ratios mean and how they are related. Like, you know, so the ratios that you should focus on, I'll give you some that you should know. Just to keep, just for starter, you probably want to know times interest earned, what that one does, what it tells you, what causes you to get all kinds of excited. If ROA and ROE, how they're related, mostly. The relationship between those liquidity ratios, like current, quick, which is also called the acid test, and the burn. Know the relationship numerically for a company. Know what is addressed by the Securities Act of 1933 versus the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. Know what each one is addressing. Show me that you know what a prospectus is, a tombstone, a red herring, a quiet period. The structure of an interest rate. What's in the risk-free rate? What is in the risk premium for a specific type of debt? What parts of the risk premium would be significant? What parts would be insignificant? We went over this a lot. Government bonds, car loans, house loans, student loans, credit card loans. Know what parts show up strongly in different types of debt instruments. Know what beta means, obviously. And make sure you know the difference between the security market line and the capital market line and the efficient front of the efficient frontier of investments. It's in the book and it's also in a podcast where I showed you these three. Be cautious. Two of those actually are almost backwards of what you would think they are. Just know which one is which. What else do I want to tell you? Business organizational structures. There's a fundamental difference of one of them against the others. Sole proprietorship, partnership, corporation. One is fundamentally different for a very specific reason. Make sure you know that. That was like the first or second lecture of the semester. Oh, a mother's work is never done. Let me go back through real quick here one more time before I let you take your shot. Here's something. Know the relative costs of different sources of capital. Know the relative costs of the different sources of capital. So in other words, a company has money from selling its stuff. I mean, that's a pretty crazy idea, you know, raising money by earning it, but there you go. But a company, now that company belongs, that money belongs, the earnings belong to the shareholders. That's internally generated equity. But then there's also, it could sell more stock, buy new owners, get new owners to buy in. That's called externally generated equity. Now, there's also, of course, your debt. Now, you borrow money. Now, which one of those is, at least in general, the cheapest? Which one is the most expensive? I put it on the board right there. Now, this is related to the topic of my last lecture, the weighted average cost of capital. Make sure that you understand. I went to a great deal of difficulty to make that lecture so it burned into your heart and mind forever, the end of that lecture. So make sure that you know about the weighted average cost of capital, what that has to do with the costs of the components of capital, the component costs of capital. One source of capital is quite cheap, and it's quite cheap for two reasons, which I gave you. Then there's one that is ludicrously expensive, and it's still, to a certain extent, is unclear why this is used, although it is used all the time. So make sure you know that. Now, obviously, I'm not giving you all of it. I miss things, both accidentally and deliberately. But it's your turn now to ask me questions, if you have any questions to ask. Beta? What was it about beta, or was it about something else?
It was about something else.
Oh, God.
The first one was security market line.
Oh, the security capital and security market line, the capital market line, and the efficient frontier of investments. Those are three related graphs, three related concepts, but they are not the same. Specifically, one of those lines is the graph of the betas against against expected returns. Two of them are straight lines. One of them is kind of like a curvy, like an envelope. But show me that you know it. It's right there. It was a drawing on the board and then two graphs right there. and it was in the capital asset pricing model lecture. And do feel free to plow through those podcasts if you are brave enough to put up with all of that, because everything in this exam is somewhere in those podcasts and in your notes. What else? Yeah.
Would we have to know the details of short selling?
No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I was going to, and then I thought, you got enough to aggravate you. No short selling question.
And as well as present value.
Present value? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll have to find, the way I do that is by having you calculate a net present value. I don't go into a really complicated with the horizon value and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's an awful lot like work. But present value and future value, you'll have a question, the net present value question, and then for future value, you'll be calculating the future value of a flat level annuity. And that's just on your calculator, for heaven's sakes. Yeah. Yeah, yes, you do. Yeah. Good question. I mean, I probed it on exam one, and I'll visit it again. And that is in the context of liquidity. I'm going to have a couple of questions where you show me you understand liquidity, and that would be one place I could do it. I think. Yeah. Only to the extent of possibly asking you about a tax shield. But as far as that was all in the context of cash flow and free cash flow, and I decided that would be a question that would just chew time getting down a free cash flow stream and all that. So all I'm going to ask you in that is to show me that you know how to calculate the change in net working capital, which is what trips most people up anyway when they're doing free cash flow analysis. But other than that, as far as the rest of it goes, you should understand the concept of a tax shield, what it is, as far as its impact goes on free cash flows. Anything else? As I said, I'll be in my office about 4:15 until the test at 5:30 on Monday. Other than that, check your scores in Cengage to make sure you got all your right scores. And that's all I have for you tonight and forever. I thank you.